On this cold and snowy day across Wisconsin, our thoughts kind of turn, at least my thoughts, are turning right now to spring and maybe some fly fishing. Oh, my goodness. Fly fishing in Wisconsin and the upper Midwest, our topic, and kind of a nice one on a cold day like this to talk with Rich Ostoff of Rural Mauston, fly fishing writer. And he is the featured speaker for the annual one-day fly fishing cold water resource celebration of Southern Wisconsin, Trout Unlimited. It's going to be held Saturday, January 17th at the Promega Biotechnology Center in Fitchburg. It's open to the public. You and I are all welcome to come. And certainly he'll tell us about the event. And we'll also talk fly fishing with him and answer your questions about it. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org, and we'll be happy to take your questions or your comments. Might have some comments about it as well. Rich Ostoff with us by phone. Rich, hi. Thanks for taking time to be with us today. Appreciate it.
Hi, Larry. Good to be with you.
You know, I'm not a fly fisherman. I do a lot of fishing, but I've never gotten into it. What's the allure of fly fishing?
You know, Larry, a lot of it's really the casting. It's just a real rhythmic, relaxing way to fish. And then, of course, there's the challenge of just hooking fish on imitations of specific insects. Trout, of course, is trout fishing is kind of the basis of fly fishing, and that really evolved around imitating a lot of the aquatic insects that, you know, trout primarily prey on.
And you yourself tie professionally, essentially, do you not?
Yeah, I actually, you know, fished a long time before I tied. There's a lot of very good tires out now. You'll get to see samples of different flies at the Southwest TU event there in January. But there's a lot of other local shows around during the course of the winter where you can go and just watch some really good tires tie. It's amazing how many good tires there are locally now. But, yeah, you tie a whole spectrum. You know, a lot of them will imitate mayflies, caddisflies, both the winged adult forms and the immature nymphs and pupal forms. But there's a lot of flies that imitate, you know, leeches, baitfish, frogs. So it's a little wider than just imitating, you know, insects. There's different line weights, a lot of different patterns to be imitated.
Well, I know, and we've got lots to talk about. And Roland's been waiting already for quite a while from Eau Claire, so I want to get Roland involved. Roland, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Yeah, when I was in Texas, we belonged to an archery club that was very family-oriented. In fact, it just impressed me real well because it involved all ages within the family. I was wondering if there are any clubs in terms, I've never been fly fishing. I don't know how to do it, but I've always wanted to maybe look into doing that. I've got grandchildren now, so I was wondering if there's any kind of family oriented activities, and if they have smaller units that children can actually use to learn how to do it.
So family clubs you're talking about? Or,
right.
Or clubs that would cater to families, let's put it that way.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Roland, you're up in Eau Claire, you said?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, I've done some talks for Ojibwa TU. That's a local chapter of Trout Unlimited out of Eau Claire. If you go to swtu.org, you can get all your local chapters, and you do have one in Eau Claire.
Okay.
And, you know, they'll hold kids' fishing days, kids' fishing events. It's a good, you know, it's a number of good contacts you'll pick up by joining these clubs. Fishermen who fish a lot, you know, are active in the conservation aspects of working on streams, and you'll have lots of opportunities to get out with people. And if you don't fish yourself, if you don't fly fish yourself and you have a child you want to get into it, that's a good way to go.
Okay.
So Trout Unlimited, thanks very much for calling, Roland, by the way. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Trout Unlimited, we should probably just talk about Trout Unlimited a little bit, because this is one of the organizations I really think does a bang-up job for our environment, our streams here in Wisconsin. What do you got, 4,000 miles, something like that, of trout streams in the state?
Yes, that's right.
And I know the Southern Wisconsin Trout Unlimited, it's 40th year now, and they recently completed a stream restoration project on the Gordon Creek in Dane County. I think it was something like $285,000.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. Trout Unlimited nationally has put a lot of money into the Driftless area, which a lot of your listeners will recognize as the unglaciated south, generally the southwestern fourth of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. But those trout streams are particularly fertile. We've got all the limestone bedrock intact there, and that really feeds the biomass in the streams. Lots of insect life, lots of food for the trout. Very good reproduction of wild strain brown trout. And then, of course, the native brook trout are still in quite a few of those streams. But the streams have taken a lot of abuse over the years. You know, farming practices, runoff, collapsed banks, siltation. And it does take work to get in and rehabilitate those streams so that they'll hold, you know, somewhere near their potential in trout. And the Trout Unlimited's a real leader in organizing all that. We do have a very good DNR, some very good fish managers, especially out of the La Crosse area. And it's kind of a team effort. The National puts money in. Clubs, local clubs will do a lot of fundraising and put money in. And the state has a trout stamp, so all trout fishermen are contributing to habitat through the, I think it's a $10 inland trout stamp now. And then the clubs will put a lot of manpower into helping the DNR rehabilitate these streams. A lot of the actual work deals with reinforcing banks, putting in what we call lunker structures. They're like a wooden fish crib that gets built into the bank, and it allows fish to get under the bank and away from prey species like herons. Really ups the trout holding capacity of a stream, maybe 400 to 500% after it's been rehabilitated. The nice thing about the small streams in Wisconsin is it's not like dealing with a huge problem like, say, the salmon runs on the Snake or Columbia Rivers. A lot of these streams are, you know, 4 or 5 miles of trout water, and if you can get in there and rehabilitate a couple of miles, it just makes, you know, a huge difference in the way that stream will fish and the number of fish it will hold.
What's the and the Trout Unlimited, this event that's coming up on January 17th, can you talk a bit about that event?
Yeah, that's kind of a laid-back day. It's basically, I think, 4 different talks during the day. I'll do a couple of them. One will be on active nymphing, my most recent book, and I'm doing kind of a fun little talk called Fishing the West's Best Rivers on Your Own. My son is 15 now, and you know, at one time I did a ton of backpacking in the West. That's a nice thing to combine with fly fishing. I've done somewhere in the neighborhood of 150 backpack trips all through the Rockies, the national parks, and the big canyons and wilderness areas, Wind River Range, Beartooth, Yellowstone Glacier, all those kind of areas. So I'll talk about how you can go out and do that cheaply. But I take my son is 15, and I've had him out west, I think, 5 years in a row now, and we'll go out and fish the West for 3 to 4 weeks on less than $1,000. So you can still do that, and that talk will kind of deal with that. There's a couple other local guides. Dave Barron and Jim Bartelt will be doing some talks. It's kind of a laid-back day where you can just come kick back, usually attended by about 400 to 500 people. There are raffles and door prizes. You've got a chance to win some real nice things, including fly rods and things like that. I believe they serve some lunch there. I don't know what it is this year, hot barbecue or something. But you can just, for a few bucks, you can get in, spend the whole day. And if you don't belong to TU, it's a great chance to come in and, you know, catch up on what the organization does.
And that's at the Promega Biotechnology Center in Fitchburg, Wisconsin.
Right. So if you go to swtu.org, the Southwest TU site, they'll have posters and information on that event.
Fly fishing in Wisconsin and the Upper Midwest, our topic today with Rich Ostoff of Rome Austin, fly fishing writer and author and the featured speaker in that one-day fly fishing event that we've been talking about for Southern Wisconsin Trout Unlimited. So pleased to have him with us. If you'd like to join in with a question or comment, welcome your calls at 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is talk@wpr.org. Give us a call or send us an email. We'll be glad to get you on the air. What is it? How difficult is it? Now, I've tried fly fishing, and I've had some fun trying it. My friend took me out in the middle of a lake, a very calm lake in a boat, and he says, that's a good place. You're not going to get your line all caught up in tree limbs and so forth. And it was kind of fun catching actually, we caught some crappies, as a matter of fact, on flies, and I enjoyed it. But I'm a musky fisherman. And I haven't tried it, although I have a friend who fly fishes and has caught muskie on a fly rod, and that's got to be quite an exciting event.
Well, you know, it's not a tremendously hard sport to learn. Like anything else, to get good at it takes a lot of time on the water. I always tell people, if you can get yourself in a situation where you can get out and fish locally, it doesn't matter if it's bluegills, bass, trout, if you can get out maybe three times a week for a season or so, you'll really start to accelerate and improve. I guide, of course, in western Wisconsin, and it really does come down to that. The people that can fish regularly improve pretty quickly. If you only fish once, twice, three times a year, it's really hard to get to the point where it all starts to snowball for you.
Yeah, I would expect that. Linda in Tigerton has a question or comment for you, so let's go there. Linda, hello.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say I tried fly fishing a couple of times. Mm-hmm. My husband is my teacher, and mm-hmm. I've had a lot of fun. So just a word to the ladies out there that might be listening is don't turn off. Stay with it. It is a lot of fun. And the look in your husband's eye when you can actually land one of those beasties is well worth the effort.
It sounds like a nice way to have some family time then.
Yes, it really is. Can't get my daughter to get involved with it, but we do enjoy eating them.
Okay.
We do not believe in catch and release. If we go into all that trouble to catch the beastie, I'm eating it.
You're eating it. Well, what do you think of that, Rich?
Well, I can relate to that from my backpacking days. I just about lived on trout for about 10 summers, probably. You know, catch and release plays an important role from the standpoint of it really keeps the resource there. A lot of these bigger, older trout in a Wisconsin stream, say a 17 to 20-inch trout, that's probably a 7 to 9-year-old fish. And, you know, if they're all getting basically taken at 12 inches, you never really build up that kind of a fish population. So, you know, catch and release plays a big role just in keeping some of those older age class fish, and those are the spawners that really do add to the population. When I eat trout in Wisconsin, I tend to take them from streams that have a lot of young adult fish. You know, that that 9 to 11-inch fish, from my standpoint, is a nicer fish to cook and eat anyway. They're not as fatty. They cook quicker.
Yeah, it has to be really pink to be worth keeping. The trout are in no real danger from my abilities, but it's a great family sport if the people involved give everybody a chance to improve. Because that first time you try and cast out there, it's just I'm surprised somebody didn't drown laughing. They fell down so hard.
Yeah, one thing I find from my guide is it's hard to teach casting and fishing at the same time. Through the clubs and through a lot of your local fly shops, and there's quite a few around the state, you can pick up fairly inexpensive, like, one-day casting seminars where you can go in and learn the basics of the casting stroke. Of course, actually fishing really refines that stroke over time, but it's nice to have a good idea of what you're doing with the rod before you get out there. That's really the tough thing about guiding the small streams in Wisconsin. It really gets down to a lot of precision on the presentation. And a lot of the anglers just don't quite have that. My own son, I know he progressed a lot quicker out west on bigger rivers where he could just kind of hit the whole river and get your basic drift. You weren't dependent on, you know, throwing it into a square foot area from 20 or 40 feet back.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of different kinds of fishing, and a lot of it's not just trout fishing. You know, in the upper Midwest here, we have I fish smallmouth bass a lot. A great fly rod fish, get out there in the canoe on places like the Turtle Flambeau and coast along those shorelines and pitch topwater bugs in. The smallmouths come up and hit them real explosive. A lot of fun. One thing I always tell people, bass and bluegill fishing on lakes is pretty much a straight-out cast in a straight-in retrieve. There's not a lot of fine presentation to it. So it's a good way to just build your basic mechanics on casting, stripping, setting hooks, all those things that are important.
And I thank you very much, Linda, for calling. Appreciate your call. Rich Osthoff, our guest today, as we talk fly fishing in Wisconsin and the upper Midwest. Number to call, 1-800-642-1061. 1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up a little bit later on in the program, we'll be talking about energy in America with Ingrid Kelly, who is the author of a book with that same title, Energy in America. So we'll look forward to that. But right now, it's fly fishing with Rich Ostoff, and Jim in Oxford is online with a question for you, Rich.
Jim. Hi, Jim. I don't have much of a question or a comment. There is a number of fly fishing clubs associated with the Federation of Fly Fishers in Wisconsin, one particularly in Madison called Badger Fly Fishers, which offers free clinics every May and also has a spring icebreaker, which is much like the TU event, only longer. Anyone interested in fly fishing might want to contact them. They meet the fourth Monday of every month at Maple Tree Restaurant. There's a fly fishing club in Sheboygan, one in Green Bay, and they're all over. And they focus on fly fishing not only for trout but for warm water species. And despite Rick's comment, I think that casting for warm water species under banks and trees and so forth and lakes and streams requires a fair amount of skill as well. So, but I have to go. I'm dropping my car off.
All right. Thanks for calling. Comment, Rich?
Yeah. I've talked to Badgers and been a member. That's a real nice club that meets in the Madison area, real active. They're focused a little more on fly fishing, whereas Trout Unlimited is not strictly a fly fishing organization by any means. It would be primarily a conservation organization, and there are a lot of TU members that fish other than fly fishing. Although I think a lot of people that tend to fish over time eventually gravitate toward toward fly fishing for a lot of different reasons.
We have an email from Kathy, who lives near Crivets, and she says, we have a family reunion happening the end of July this coming year, and some fly fishermen are coming from both coasts. Where can we take them, and what sort of flies should they use at that time of year? We're staying at some cabins in north-central Marinette County near the northern end of the Cauldron Falls flowage of the Peshtigo River, and one of them wants to catch some pickerel, too.
Well, probably getting out on some of the small lakes the good-sized lakes up there. There's a lot of northern in the area. I think you're probably talking small northerns rather than actual pickerel. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of hammerheads, we call them, fairly small northerns on a lot of those lakes. Northerns take flies very aggressively. Lots of times you do have to rig with some kind of wire or, you know, cut-proof leader. They'll tend to cut your monofilament leaders. Your trout fishing up around Crivets is a lot of smaller brook trout streams that are really in the woods and the mosquitoes and the ticks and everything by midsummer. That's one nice thing about our southern Wisconsin streams. A lot of them are a little more open, a little more farmland, pasture-type streams. But you do have, you mentioned the Peshtigo River right up there. That is a decent trout fishery. Midsummer, you might just want to concentrate a little more on smallmouth bass, the Peshtigo. The Menominee River on the Wisconsin-Michigan border is a tremendous smallmouth stream, and that's not too far from Crivets. And you'd probably, for smallmouth, there's deer hair topwater bugs that act a lot like poppers, create a surface commotion, and the bass will really home in on those. That's really one of the main flies you need for smallmouth. I only fish about two or three different flies a lot on bass, whereas on trout, you're carrying dozens of different patterns.
All right. And Randy in Marshfield just has a comment. I've enjoyed fly fishing for many years but have moved away from trout. My Midwestern targets are primarily bass and pike. I've also learned that saltwater fly fishing is my latest passion, so whenever I get close to an ocean, I get out the big rods. I recently landed a 90-pound sailfish and some 6-foot Mako sharks on my 12 and 14-weight rods.
Well, those would be real heavy rods. Trout rods are rated by a weight, a line weighting system. Most of your trout rods would be 3, 4, or 5 weights. Some of your intermediate, bass type rods, 6, 7, 8. Once you start getting up in the double figures, 11, 12, 14, those are more into like salmon and big game rods. Mm-hmm. And those will throw correspondingly heavier lines and some bigger flies with less effort. But you get those real big fish and you just need a bigger stick to fight them on, basically. But yeah, saltwater fishing has really increased. I know Pat Ehlers out of the Fly Fishers in Milwaukee He books trips to a lot of saltwater destinations. And a lot of people that travel in the winter, the Bahamas, there are so many saltwater destinations now. Bonefish, sailfish, just about anything that swims in salt, redfish, snook, there's a lot of fly fishing for all of those. Locally, one thing that's kind of come on that can require a little bigger rods and a bigger fish that you can catch are carp. There's a lot of fly fishing for carp. And in some pretty nice settings, like Moonlit Bay on Door County, some of the bays on the Lake Michigan side on Door County, mm-hmm. big, clear, sandy water bays ringed by cattails. And the carp will come in schools and kind of ghost over those sand flats. And a lot of it's spot fishing and casting out ahead of them. And that's an opportunity to get a taste of saltwater fishing in a Wisconsin setting. For some big fish, a lot of those carp will go in the 20-pound range.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim and Kiwani, we'll go to you next. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, good morning, and thank you for tonight's show, the program you have today.
Sure.
And your guest. I hail from Nicolet National Forest area. I don't fish anymore. I'm 60 years old. I'm a fourth-generation fly fisherman. I learned from my dad, and he learned from his dad how to tie flies and how to fish trout. And that was my favorite thing to fish, was trout growing up. I used to catch hundreds of trout when I was a small kid. And the number one place we used to love to fish the most was beaver ponds. And we fished some beaver ponds that were in existence for over 50 years. Mm-hmm. And we could catch trout in the 20-inch size category that were just huge.
Yeah.
Because of the explosion of bug life in a beaver pond, the diversity in a beaver pond, what the wealth they could create for all wildlife, ducks, 80% of the mallards in Wisconsin in the 70s, DNRs that were raised in beaver ponds. And we loved beaver ponds. And we fished the Peshtigo. I fished the rat. I fished the Oconto. But now there's a war on the beaver. And the Forest Service and APHIS and all this are going on complaints, that standing complaint, I guess, with Trout Unlimited to get rid of these beaver on these streams, especially the Ocana watershed, which means every little creek, that's in the system, they've just about eliminated them. They're just about gone.
And well,
the local people, a lot of them are very upset about that because of not only the muskrat trapping, the duck hunting. I just wanted to know what your guest stance is at Trout Unlimited on the beaver pond, giving the beaver a place in this
area. Okay. Well, let's go to Rich. Rich?
You know, I'm not a trapper. My understanding of beaver populations are they're probably way up in Wisconsin over what they were. I know in southern Wisconsin, I never really saw a beaver sign until I got into, say, high school, which would have been the early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
In the 60s and stuff, that was a rare thing to see a beaver cutting or any sign. Beavers have their pluses and minuses. When they first move in and build, you will tend to get a kick up in the nutrients. But when those ponds stand for 4 or 5 years, a lot of dead leaf matter and stuff tends to settle into them. They get acidic. Their big problem with beaver ponds on a stream is the stream below that point is going to start to warm. And, of course, trout are a cold water fish. You know, they're most active at about 62 degrees, but if you start getting temperatures that exceed 65, say 70 degrees, certainly for any extended periods, that becomes marginal trout water. So I think a lot of the beaver trapping on streams per se is just to try and keep the temperatures, you know, in a good trout range. On those prime parts of the streams. Eventually, all those watersheds, as they get down far enough, are going to warm to the point where trout are no longer going to live.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Jim, thank you for calling. I want to give some others a chance to get in here. Ben in River Falls is up next with a question. Ben, hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
I'm an active kayaker in this area of River Falls, Wisconsin, and I encounter fly fishermen on a regular basis. In an effort to prevent conflict, I wanted to ask your guest, what is the proper etiquette for kayakers who encounter fishermen? And also, what would be the proper etiquette for a fisherman who encounters a kayaker?
Are you on the Kinnickinnick doing that? Or?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, that'd be kind of a unique situation in Wisconsin. Most of our Wisconsin streams are really small enough that you're not going to, you know, fishermen are not going to encounter people floating them. On the Kinney, you know, a fly fisherman is not going to move or cover water, obviously, nearly as fast as a kayaker. I would just tend to let a kayaker go through, probably pick up my line. I do fish a lot of western rivers in the Rockies where we see a lot of drift boat traffic. That's other anglers. And those are a little wider rivers, and the drift boat guides will generally swing midstream or to the other bank and away from waiting fishermen. It's nice if you can go through an area without disturbing it too much, but I wouldn't think in Wisconsin, even on a place like the Kinney, the kayak traffic could be all that heavy. I certainly wouldn't be upset, you know, having a guy float through.
Okay. It's okay to greet them and say hello, ask them how they're doing, and then just pass them by?
Sure. You know, trout are real sensitive to vibrations created on the riverbed, stomping on the banks, walking, grinding rocks, things like that. Noises that originate above the surface, voices, that does not really reach them.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Ben, for calling. Appreciate it.
Yeah, one nice thing about fishing is you can talk.
Yeah, that's right. Jason Wausau is up next. Hi, Jace.
How you doing? Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I spent some of my summers and early falls in Montana, and my question I have is that once these farmers quit using the irrigation, and once that's cut off, I find a lot of trout remaining in these irrigation canals and actually dying. And I was wondering, is there a way that we can prevent that from happening? I mean, I've been taking a lot of fish out, you know, buckets by buckets, but I know there's been a lot of casualties. I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, the history of the West is basically one big water war. In Montana, there's some movements to assure minimum in-stream flows, but a lot of those water rights go way back into historical record. It is a very complicated, you know, there's a lot of legal struggling. And, of course, anytime you get drought in the West, that's all compounded because the irrigation gets heavier, more fish come into the irrigation systems. There's other problems with irrigation, dirty water return, just low flow in the main rivers. So there's a lot of issues that revolve around irrigation and conservation of trout.
Yeah. I have an email from Jack who says he's listening on the web. He's in Colorado Springs, but a Wisconsin native and an avid Wisconsin Public Radio listener and fly fisherman. And his comment is, Wisconsin has great trout streams, still gets to fish southwestern Wisconsin and the UP of Michigan, where there are great streams and great places to see. Also loves fly fishing for smallmouth bass. But his question is, how do you protect rivers like the Kinney near River Falls from nearby urban sprawl? And how do we stop runoff from the industrial farms like the one that destroyed the Willow River near Richland Center? I want my grandchildren to be able to fly fish, too. That's his comment.
Yeah, there's a lot. You know, it's big. A trout stream is not just the trout banks. It's the entire watershed. And, of course, there's a lot of priorities. It's like trying to conserve anything or keep air clean once you get out into those larger areas. It's the whole system that needs to be taken care of. But on these smaller streams, there is a lot you can do right in the stream bank, you know, environment to stabilize those streams. Of course, coming out of the 30s and 40s, a lot of the southwest Wisconsin streams are really degraded, 30, 40-foot high eroded banks. The channels just broadened and silted in. And it was kind of felt that a lot of those streams would never support trout again. But, you know, they're doing much better now. One thing that's kind of happened is a lot of farmland has gone into smaller recreational farms. Yeah, there's not as much grazing in the woodlands and things. And we're seeing really good percolation of rainfall down into the spring systems. In general, a lot of the springs in western Wisconsin are running stronger now than they have in years or so, and then in decades, really. So there's a lot of factors go in there, probably more than we can get into right now, but it's a big issue.
Yeah, it is. And thanks, Jack, for that email. By the way, you could email us at talk@wpr.org or call us at 1-800-642-1234. And let's turn to Dell in Iola next. Dell, hello to you.
Good morning.
Morning.
I've got a question about split bamboo fly rods.
Sure.
about is if what kind of, is there still a market for these? And I have several I'd like to dispose of, and over the years I acquired them, and I was just wondering what kind of value would a guy start on, and how would I go about selling them? Who would I get a hold of or something? They're not rummage sale items. They're pretty nice fly rods.
Yeah.
Yeah, split bamboo, that's kind of the fishing equivalent of a high-grade double shotgun or something like that. A lot of classic old-time uses of them. There are, believe it or not, still some very good split bamboo builders around, like Don Schrader out of Janesville. I don't know if listeners would know a lot about how those rods are built, but basically they're six-sided rods, and they're split from real fine cane, and they're beveled down and glued. And they just have a real classic soft casting action to them. The older rods, you really have to get those to somebody that knows that market. I couldn't even begin to praise those. A lot of times they're not worth, just because they're bamboo, they're not worth what people think they would be back in, of course, the 30s, 40s, 50s. There was a lot of production, mass-produced bamboo rods, and it's just hard for me to know what you've got.
Mm-hmm. So who would you, or kind of what kind of person would you go to?
I would probably, bring them down to somewhere like that meeting on that Saturday, Southwest TU. You'll see a lot of bamboo fans in there. There are bamboo books written, a few books specifically on bamboo rods. But you could go online and look up bamboo rods, and I'm sure find a lot of people that might be able to appraise those rods for you.
All right. As you said, you could bring them to the event on the 17th, would that be a possibility? Or
sure, not? I'm sure there'd be people that could look at those and tell you if you've got something worth pursuing.
Okay, and let's go back over that again. The event is Saturday, January 17th at the ProMega Biotechnology Center in Fitchburg, and it's open to the public. What is it, small amount to entry fee of some sort, I assume?
Yeah, it would be a few bucks to enter.
But that's all day Saturday, and to find out more about that, a good place to go would be to swtu.org, right?
Correct.
So that'd be a place where you could maybe just show up and talk to some folks and find out some more.
Yeah, there'll definitely be some bamboo fishermen there.
We have... I think in the past, fly fishing certainly was considered an elitist sport. But I think there's some evidence, isn't there, that fly fishing has moved beyond those kinds of roots?
Yeah, it really has a European base to it. And then, of course, fly fishing in this country kind of got going in the Catskills of New York, a little bit of an aristocratic tradition. But I think as fishing's moved west, certainly into the Rockies, that started to fade a little bit. A lot of the people I guide are fairly well-off executive doctors, things like that. But a lot of the really good fly fishermen I know are just blue-collar, run-of-the-mill guys and women. I didn't want to exclude Linda. My sister-in-law, Nasa, fishes a lot. Very good fly fisherman. In fact, sometimes I find the women are easier to teach because they don't come in with a lot of bad casting habits. One of the hardest things to teach is a guy who's been fishing wrong for about 10 years. there's a lot. And in Wisconsin, you've got just tremendous opportunities. You've got the trout. You've got all of our Northwoods lakes, lots of good rivers, the Wisconsin River, all of our smaller river systems. Just a ton of opportunities out there to get out and fly fish fairly locally. And I think as fly fishing's kind of picked up from a local standpoint, people have really gotten into exploring these other options, crappies, largemouth bass. Smallmouth are probably the second most popular fly rod fish in Wisconsin after trout. But northerns and muskies, that's all catchable. And then, of course, you've got your Great Lakes fisher, salmon, and steelhead, and fly fishing for those is real popular.
And, I think in the spring, on lakes, in the shallows of lakes like here in southern Wisconsin, even Lake Monona is a great bluegill fishery. And fly fishing for bluegills can be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's a little bit more of a meat sport. I mean, when I fish bluegills, I'm usually looking for a meal. it's a lot of fun. You can see them rush the fly. You get a real good experience fishing lakes. In my backpack fishing, I fished a lot of lakes up in the high Rockies, up around Timberline for golden trout and some of the more exotic species. And lake fishing is completely different than stream fishing. It's a lot of spot fishing. You're looking visually for your fish, casting to them. And with bluegills, you'd be able to see your beds. You can drop a sinking fly near those beds, and those bluegills will run off there and chase that thing and just strip it back.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you tie flies and sell flies, and, of course, your books as well. And I know you've got a website, Rich, and where do we go for that?
Yeah, anybody that's interested in catching up on more of what I do can go to www.richostoff.com. Ostoff has a silent H in it, O-S-T-H-O-F-F.
So it's richostoff.com to find out what you've got. And you sell flies and so forth.
Yeah, I sell mainly my own patterns. I have a little mail order catalog, but I sell directly to anglers. So I ship my flies all over the country. Most years I ship to every state. And I've been tying flies commercially for about 10 years. That mixed in with the guiding and the books kind of brings most of my income somewhere out of that fly fishing sphere. So.
Well, that must be a fun way to make a living.
Yeah, it's not a rich way to make a living, although there's people that have made more money at it than I. Some of the video shows and stuff, if you get out and really promote and get into that, there's probably a little more dollar. But I was primarily a writer, an advertising copywriter, so I enjoy the writing aspects of it, and everything kind of feeds off of that for me.
Well, it's been a real pleasure to talk with you today, Rich, and hopefully we'll get you back sometime.
Well, thanks for having me on and giving fly fishing a plug, and I hope to see some people out at the TU event on the 17th.
Yeah, absolutely. Rich Ostoff of Rural Mauston, the fly fishing writer, the featured speaker for the annual one-day fly fishing Coldwater Resource Celebration of Southern Wisconsin Trout Unlimited. And it's be held on Saturday, January 17th at the Promega Biotechnology Center in Fitchburg, Wisconsin. And, of course, it's open to everybody. So if you are interested in taking a look, now that biotech center in Fitchburg is kind of an interesting place to be anyway. It's kind of a cool place. And Rich was a graduate of the department in which I teach. It was agricultural journalism, now life sciences communication. And so it's great to see a former student from our department do well in the writing and certainly enjoying and appreciating the outdoors. And Trout Unlimited does a lot of good. As I said, they just completed a $285,000 stream restoration project on Gordon Creek in Dane County. And they do a lot of good, and it's an organization that I certainly support. Well, coming up, we're going to be talking about some choices about our energy future. Ingrid Kelly, an author of the book Energy in America, A Tour of Our Fossil Fuel Culture and Beyond, is our guest coming up next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.